Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Saturday morning, you know what that means. Today is a little bit different. We are live from Chesterfield Valley Nursery. I'm your host, Michelle Reeser West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And again, I am here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery, and the drive-in this morning, super great. Temperature outside's a little cool. It was a little foggy. But if you haven't been out here, we're kind of out off of Highway 4064 near where Topgolf is. So the fog was out. The trees are beautiful. Still a lot of fall color around. And I'm sitting here watching all of the crews getting ready for the day. There's a lot of hustle and bustle. They are loading Christmas wreaths into trucks. They are driving machines around. They're getting ready for what I can only assume is some fall cleanups. Maybe they're doing some plantings today, but it's really cool to see everything they have going on down here. You guys can come down and hang out with us. We will be here till 10 o'clock, Chesterfield Valley Nursery. We are at 16825 North Outer 40 Road here in Chesterfield, and a lot of things going on here. Holiday season is kicking off this weekend. I had a chance to walk around the nursery before the show started, and they have Christmas trees and Christmas trees and Christmas trees are here. They have a lot of other things that you might be looking for your winter decorations. I saw poinsettias, I saw wreaths, I saw a lot of live winter greens for your porch containers or anything that like that you might need. Just really cool to see in such a short time the shift from fall and mums and pansies over to, you know, evergreens and poinsettias. So really cool. They have a lot of great stuff down here. And definitely come down and check us out. We're also going to be answering your questions today, so let's not forget about that. If you guys have questions for us, 314-436-7900, that's the number to call to ask any of your garden-related questions. Still have a lot of fall tasks that need to be done. The leaves are still falling from trees. You know, we spent a lot of time at Pointer this week, you know, talking about leaves and how to manage leaves. You know, we've also got fall bulbs going into the ground, so a lot of planting of our tulips and daffodils and things like that. And, you know, those, like I said, porch pots and winter decorations for your outside containers, those are starting to happen. Lots of things. We have Thanksgiving next week, so things are just really getting busy for us here in the landscaping world, and I'm sure you guys have a ton of questions yourself for any fall related, you know, tasks that you might need to do getting into winter, putting your gardens to bed for the year. So again, phone calls 314-436-7900. And then personally, like my garden, I was taking a look around and really starting to think that I need to get my act together, in terms of getting my garden ready. You know, I have leaves everywhere, and we talk a lot about leaving the leaves, you know, for all of our critters to help overwinter. But I have a ton that I need to deal with. So that's what I'm going to start doing today. It's so nice out. I'm going to start getting some of those leaves off of my grass and back into my garden beds. And maybe starting to deadhead a few things that are, you know, maybe a little too weedy for my liking, and kind of get things a little bit tidied up. I'm not sure what my neighbors think, but I'm not a super tidy gardener. I like to leave the leaves, leave up our, as many seed heads and things like that as possible. But we do have our first caller, so we're going to go and we're going to talk to Mary. Mary, go ahead with your question. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi. I've got little line punch hydrangeas, and I've got four of them. They're about 2 years old, and I need to know if, I know you can cut them back in the spring or the fall, but they suggest you wait till the spring so that you can just leave the blooms on there just for something. But I have branches laying on the ground. Can I go ahead and cut those back? And my second question is when I look at videos, I see like bright white and then bright, vivid pink, but mine have not done that. They haven't even come close to that. And a guy at the garden shop told me to put iron in the ground, but when I came home and Googled it, it said that you don't need to add anything like that, that they color on their own. Mm-hmm. Anything you can tell me about them, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a great question. Mary, we get a lot of questions about when we should be pruning our hydrangeas. And, you know, the little lime punch hydrangea, there's so many different cultivars of the paniculata style hydrangea, which is what you have. But the little lime punch hydrangea are a kind that you can prune now if you'd like, or in this early spring, late winter, early spring. So those, if you have some that are maybe flopping over, definitely okay to deadhead those or prune those back. It's really up to you or up to, you know, the aesthetic that you're going for with this type of hydrangea. You know, I personally like to leave it up through the winter. There's a little bit of winter interest with that old flower head. They look very cool in the snow. But horticulturally speaking, these guys will bloom on the new wood from next season. So if you need to prune them now, totally fine to do so. You know, a lot of people don't like to look at those old flower structures, so they will go ahead and deadhead those in the fall just for, you know, a little bit of cleanliness. But again, I like to look at mine. I'm not sure. Did you say when you planted those, Mary?
About 2 years ago in the fall.
So the this type of hydrangea can take a few years. We typically tell people 2 to 3 seasons for the plant to really get established, for it to do the thing that we think it's going to do. And then as far as this color change on this type of hydrangea, this is kind of like, this flower will kind of emerge as like a more limey green color. It fades to that white, and then it will show a little bit of this pink color as it's kind of fading. And it can take, like I said, 2 to 3 seasons for it to really put on that kind of show and for you to really see that effect. You know, there are types of hydrangeas that you can fertilize in order to manipulate the color of the flower. This is not one of those types of hydrangeas. So no fertilization for this type of hydrangea should be necessary. Technically, other than that color change, most hydrangeas don't need to have fertilization. And anytime you fertilize, you should probably take a soil test before you do so to see what the plant might need. And just in general, I typically don't recommend fertilization on our flowering shrubs and perennials unless they're showing stress or they're just not looking overly happy or have a lot of vigor. So for the most part, I would say hold off on any kind of fertilization and then just give it some time, and hopefully next season you might have some better luck. And then again, keep in mind, we've had some crazy weather, some huge fluctuations in the amount of water and rain that we've been getting, drought conditions. We've had, you know, warmer than normal temperatures at times, and just massive fluctuations in our weather, which can affect bloom and bloom color and timing and all of those things. So my advice is really to just kind of wait and see. Keep them healthy, keep them watered through winter, and then consistent watering throughout the year, and hopefully you'll get a good show next season.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call, Mary. And if you guys have a question for us, 314-436-7900, that's the number to call to ask your questions. Any kind of pruning questions. I love pruning. I think if I could get paid to just do hand pruning, that would be like my goal, I think, in life. I always say if I could have a little buddy to follow behind me and clean up my messes, and all that I had to do throughout the day is go around and do hand pruning, that would, you know, that's like my little zen happy place. Right now, typically not doing a lot of pruning out in the garden. This is, you know, a great time to kind of let our plants do their thing. And, you know, we're getting all that leaf drop happening, but we're wanting these plants to store as much energy as possible down into their roots, so they have a healthier chance to make it through the wintertime. And, you know, not a lot of pruning needed. We are going to take a break. If you have a question for us, 314-436-7900 is the number to call. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back. This is the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture at Pointer Landscape. Today, we are here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery on the North Outer 40 Road, kind of out by Topgolf, visiting with our show sponsor, checking things out. Again, they have all kinds of stuff out here, kicking off the Christmas tree season, the winter green season. They have everything that you might need, from garland to poinsettias, anything that you might want to decorate your home for the Christmas holiday. They also have so many trees. There's still plenty of time for planting trees and shrubs. The ground is not frozen. The temperatures are good, so plenty of time for planting. And they have a ton of inventory, a ton of really cool plants, shrubs, trees, big, small, everything that you guys can think of. So come down and see us. We will be here until 10 o'clock. They will be here throughout the day. They actually have some winter class series that is starting today. They have a planter class. They also have some more classes coming up later in the season, so visit their website, social medias, to get more information about the classes that they have. They also have private parties and private classes that you guys can sign up for. You can make your own porch planters, wreaths, or centerpieces. So lots to learn when it comes to that winter decor and using that live plant material. Come on out, Chesterfield Valley Nursery. We are here till 10, and we do have a caller, but if you have a call, 314-436-7900, that's the number to reach us with your questions. And we're going to go straight to Jan. Jan, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm calling for a house. We're in Clayton, and in the front of the house, the north side of the house, years ago, I planted hydrangeas. I think they're the ones that actually almost become trees and get up about 8 to 10 feet and flower in August into September. What happened is that the tornado came through and polished off the top half of them, and then the roofers polished off the bottom part of them, so they're done. And I've been digging out the stumps, which actually don't come out too badly, so I've got it cleared out. Now the question is what to replace them with, and I think what we want are a flowering shrub. Maybe it shouldn't go much higher than 4 feet. The problem of the other guys was it got too tall. So about 3 or 4 feet. We have azaleas around part of the house, and they seem to do well. But my wife doesn't care for what azaleas look like after they've bloomed. So I'd like to do azaleas, but what else could you think that we might put in there?
Sure. Remind me of the sun conditions. Was it your full sun, shade? What side of the house was it?
I think, with the tornado, the sun is, I'd say, about 3/4.
Okay. So more of a full sun situation.
They face north. Pardon?
Yeah. Yeah, full sun, we'll say. So this is a great question. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that had a lot of that tornado damage, you know, just in general, needing to do some shrub replacements. And, you know, there are a lot of different kinds and taking size. And I always like to take maintenance into consideration, because while I like plants, I always say that I'm a lazy gardener. So I want to have as little work to do out there as possible. So one of the plants that I really like and I go to a lot, it is a native, and then there are these native cultivars, but it's called Itea, that's the botanical name, and then the common name is summer sweet. I'm just totally drawing a blank, but it's a summer sweet shrub, and it has really beautiful large white spikes. And is a great one. It does sucker. It's a good one, I think, for like the side of your house, and kind of suckers out and grows a little bit like wide, but it doesn't grow super tall. There's a cultivar called Little Henry that stays relatively compact. It's 3 to 4 feet, and there's really essentially no real pruning. Every few years you need to go in and maybe thin out some of the canes, but you don't need to deadhead. It kind of self prunes as far as deadheading goes over time. But it's got a beautiful early spring white flower, and then it has some really decent fall color. And another one that is not a native, but it's a similar type of plant, is sweet spire or clethra. And that's a good one. That one's not great if you have deer running through the place there in Clayton. So I know some people in Clayton still are dealing with a little bit of deer pressure, but that is also a nice one. There's a cultivar called Ruby Spice, and that has a more of a pink flower to it. And there is a different one that I believe is called Hummingbird. That might be, those are about the same size, but I think the Hummingbird might be a tiny bit smaller. That one has a more of a white flower. But those are really good low maintenance plants. Those are great for pollinators. Again, that Itea, Itea, is a native plant. And both of them are really great for pollinators. But those are just two that are good low maintenance, hardy, kind of tried and true plants.
Well, that's great. Let's see. I got Itea. I got Sweet Henry. I got Ruby Spice Hummingbird. What was the third one?
That was it. Those are the three that I talked about. The Itea, Little Henry, and then that clethra. There's either the Hummingbird variety or Ruby Spice. So there was three that I talked about.
Okay, so the third one was clethra. Wonderful. Thank you, Michelle. That's a real help, and we really appreciate it. We love having you on Saturday mornings. We listen to you every morning.
Thank
Saturday.
You so much. I appreciate the listen. And thanks for the call. Up next, I believe we have another caller. Is this Jan? I think I maybe misintroduced Jan on the last caller. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's Bill on the line.
Who, Bill?
Yep.
Oh,
go
okay.
ahead with your question.
Yeah, I remember a while back you were talking about how wood mulch depletes nitrogen in the soil. And I was wondering, if I'm grinding up fall leaves quite a bit, does that also deplete soil nitrogen?
Not really. And so one of the things is that wood mulch is right after it's chipped, you know, and it's part of that, you know, it's so much of that decomposition on top of the mulch. I think there is maybe a tiny bit of that nitrogen stealing from the leaves, but the benefit from all of that decomposition and you know, it's not quite as much as that fresh ground up wood chips from a newly mulched up tree. It's a different thing.
Okay. I mean, in general, the grass seems to do pretty well doing
yep.
it. And, Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Guys, the number to call with your questions, 314-436-7900. When we come back, we're going to talk with somebody here from Chesterfield Valley Nursery. We got a couple folks that are going to tell us about the things and the services that they have going on here. So when we come back, we'll chat with Chesterfield Valley Nursery and take more of your calls, 314-436-7900. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West with Pointer Landscape, and we are here today at Chesterfield Valley Nursery. We are not just answering your gardening questions today. We are here. We are talking about, you know, Christmas trees and fall plantings and everything that Chesterfield Valley Nursery, our generous sponsor, has to offer you guys. We do have a special guest with us here today. Bob Grayler from Chesterfield Valley Nursery is a landscape designer. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So this place is pretty spectacular. You know, we were out here in the spring. You guys had a great customer appreciation day, and we just had a really good time. And we talked to Andrea and Jim when we were here. And can you tell us, can you remind us a little bit about what is Chesterfield Valley Nursery? What do you guys do, and how long have you guys been around?
Well, we've been around here since 1989, so before the flood. So, yeah, 1993, we'd be sitting in 8 feet of water here. But after that, we have grown by leaps and bounds, just a little bit over year by year. And we do custom landscapes, anything from your basic plantings, perennials, woody trees and shrubs, to hardscapes, patios, fire pits, fireplaces, outdoor kitchens, things like that. So,
yeah, it's you know, you drive by, you hear Chesterfield Valley Nursery, and I think that doesn't quite do it justice with everything that you guys do. You know, I got a chance to walk around here in the spring. I've been here several times just as a consumer, but even walking around this morning and seeing some of the rock work and the retaining walls and there's like covered structures, there's just so many really cool things that as a homeowner or a gardener, just walking around here getting inspiration is great. But if people are ready to maybe take that next step and have a project at their house, what is that process like? They're going to call you, and then what happens?
Yeah, so what they'll do is they'll call into our office here, and we'll set you up. We actually have five landscape designers, and so we'll kind of vet some folks a bit, ask some questions, and see what you guys want to do, somebody wants to do, and we'll line you up with who would probably be best for your situation. And we'll come out and have a consultation at your house, walk around, ask a lot of questions, take a lot of measurements, take some pictures, and really get the feel for what somebody wants to get out of their outdoor spaces. So we really want to bring those outdoor spaces to life for them, and just really see what they want to do. And are they into entertaining? Are they looking for more of an intimate space, something like that? Or is it just a basic front landscape or back landscape? You know, it's all shapes and sizes. Anything, there's nothing's off the table. So, and then after that, we'll kind of come up with a plan, and then we bring folks out to out here to the nursery to take a walk around our gardens and to look at some of the spaces that we have, some of the plants that we have. We do a great job at laying out displays as far as bringing colors and textures. You know, we may not be at your house, but let's kind of envision what that space looks like at your house, and different plants we're bringing together with different flowers and different trees and shrubs, and you know, how that can look at somebody's specific home.
That sounds great. And I think that it's a good point that you just made, that so many designers out there that don't have a full nursery at their disposal can't necessarily do that setup and show you the plants and kind of make those combinations, because it is difficult, especially for people that aren't used to looking at a landscape plant, or, you know, they see some circles on a piece of paper and then, you know, you show up and you install it and they're like, whoa, I didn't know what that looked like. And so for them to be able to, you know, have that communication with you at their property and you guys get to know them and then create that plan based on whatever their expectations, their needs, mm-hmm. their wants are, and then to be able to bring them out here and kind of do a little mock setup so they can see, you know, the plants in real life. And even, you know, like walking around here, there's so much different hardscape that you guys have on display here, different pavers and different walls and different rocks and things like that. It's what a great setup to be able to sell those things.
Yeah, people have so many different ideas and so many thoughts of what they want. You know, more contemporary, more traditional. You can make the spaces look, you know, to fit their taste. And you brought up a good point about getting to know somebody. A part of our whole concept is to bring that relationship on and just have a not just a one-time interaction. We really just come out and do your landscape and then, all right, bye, we're gone. It's, having that continual relationship. You know, we do landscape maintenance as well. And, the idea is, well, maybe we can tweak your landscape as you go, or maybe we have an additional space down the road. So we want to have that continual relationship and building on that from season to season.
I think that's really great, and you know, can totally relate to that process and having that connection and building that strong relationship. And that sounds like, you know, you guys have been in business out here since 1989, and it's a family business.
Yes, it is.
Guys, you know, I like I said, I spoke with Jim and Andrea, father daughter situation. Yep. Where do you fit into this equation?
I'm the younger brother, so I've been doing this since 26 years now, something like that. So I came along, started in the landscape maintenance aspect of it after my previous life, and it sucks you in. It does. And so, yeah, we've grown from year to year as far as not just our facility, but also what our crews or what our guys are able to do from a landscape perspective, going from, again, basic landscapes to hardscapes to stonework, and just our guys are they're our core, mm-hmm. and our installers, and so many times I walk away from a customer's house and we're having a discussion and they say, oh, your guys are great. They are the best and they are so polite. And that's just one of the things, that one of the key elements that just brings that connection together with our customers. And just they love our guys, and it's just a great part of our whole being here.
I love hearing that so much. I feel that, you know, again, I'm totally relating to you and this part of this job. You know, it's hard work, you know, mm-hmm. people are out there, yep. they're digging holes, they're moving rocks in there, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, we all want a beautiful product and we all want, you know, our customers to be happy. But I was here this morning, I saw the guys getting ready, I saw them coming in and talking with Jim and getting their assignments and figuring out who they were working with. And, you know, all of that, you know, the finished product and all of that, I think doesn't make sense if the people that are making your project aren't happy and aren't having a good time and aren't proud of the work. And, you know, just being here a short amount of time today, it's very clear that's an important thing for you guys, and you've been doing it a long time. If somebody out there listening wants to have some design work done or has some questions about some of the services that you guys provide, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, they just call our office here, 636-532-9307. That's the number here. And again, we'll set you up with one of our designers, and if you're looking for landscape maintenance aspects, we have our landscape maintenance supervisor come out and talk to you guys and just see what the needs are and just, you know, have that conversation and really dig in deep as far as what the desires are for somebody and just starting that relationship.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. I know we put you on the spot. He did not know that this was on his agenda for today, so we appreciate you taking the time. Guys, we are out at Chesterfield Valley Nursery. We're at 16825 North Outer 40. The Garden Hotline will be here till 10 o'clock, taking your phone calls. I'll stick around for a little bit afterwards. I got to look around, see what I need to buy, what needs to come home with me. If you guys have questions for us, for any of your gardening, fall-related questions, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call. And you're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We are back. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape. We are out here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery out on North Outer 40 Road. If you guys are familiar with Topgolf on the side of the highway, we are down past that. From the highway, it kind of looks amazing. It's a good view. There's just row after row of large trees that you can see all the way from the highway. And we are here kicking off the holiday season. They have Christmas trees. They have winter greens. They have garland. They have poinsettias. They have all the trees and shrubs that you can possibly imagine out here. And we just talked to Bob Grayler, a landscape designer out here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery. When we come back from the break in the future, we're going to talk to Andrea Graves. She's going to tell us a little bit more about their garden center and things that they're offering in that line. And we're still going to be answering your questions for the next hour and a bit. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call with all of your garden related questions. And you know, I wanted to mention, and I love mentioning, it's one of my favorite things to mention, that fall is a excellent time, a most excellent time to do honeysuckle removal. If you're driving around town right now, it's really easy to spot a lot of our wood lines and areas around our house have dropped their leaves. And for the most part, honeysuckle is still holding on strong to a lot of their leaves. So it's that brush that is likely to still have its green leaves holding on. It's one of the last things to drop its leaves in fall. But right now is a most excellent time for removing this honeysuckle. And one of the reasons why we want to remove it is because it's becoming, and it is very invasive in our woodlands and in our yards. You know, it sets berries and then little birds will come and eat the berries. And then they distribute little honeysuckle plants all over, and it's taking over our woodlands. It is smothering out or crowding out some of our natural fauna. It really is contributing to, you know, some of the deer that are leaving the woods and coming into our gardens to eat our hostas and all of those other delicious things that they like eating. But it's really important for us to try to manage that. And fall is a great time, A, for identification, and B, for killing it. So you can see a lot of folks around town, a lot of organizations are having honeysuckle hacks. But if you can't contribute or be involved in any of those kinds of events, definitely take a look around your yard and see if you have any honeysuckle that needs to die. It's a great time. Like I said, one of the reasons is you can cut it back right now or easily dig it out. out, the soil is really workable right now. It's got really adequate moisture. So if it's a smaller shrub, you can get out there with a sharp spade. And sometimes they're easy enough to just pull out of the ground. But if it's a larger honeysuckle, what you can do is take a saw or a lopper and just cut that back. And when you have that fresh exposed wood, you can hit that with a little bit of an herbicide. You know, you want to use a little bit stronger. You can read the label, always read the label. But I believe 30% concentration of that concentrated type of herbicide is recommended. There's also a product out there called Tordon, and Tordon is a really great one that you can just paint those fresh cuts with that herbicide. And the plant, because it's fall, is taking all of that energy. It's going to suck up all of that herbicide back down into the root system, and it's going to make that herbicide work a little bit harder because it's taking it directly to the root. So great time to be identifying and removing honeysuckle this fall. Another great one right now to identify and try to remove is your Bradford pear. Even if you can't get that cut back, if it's a larger one, just identifying, you know, Bradford pear again is one that holds their leaves further into the season. And right now they are a dark red on most of our Bradford pears. They're still a little bit glossy. So if you haven't identified that in your yard, but it's easy to spot, those are also invasive. You're driving down 270, 44, you're at the interchanges all along 270. There's just so many Bradford pears. Easy to identify in the spring when they're blooming, but right now is also a great time to identify because they're holding on to those red leaves a little bit longer than everyone else. But invasives, get rid of our invasives when you can, as much as you can. We do have a caller on the line. Let's go to Alex, I believe, is waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. So my mom dug up a banana tree in the garden, and she put it in the spare room. And it's starting to grow out of the bag that we put it in. Is that normal for banana trees, or what should I do with it?
Yeah, so when we're bringing in our banana trees, this is a great question for this time of year. We always have a lot of questions. Bring it in. It's still going to grow. It's probably not going to be as vigorous as when it's outside. You're going to want to water it less, try to give it as much sunlight as possible, but it is possible for it to still be putting out that new growth from time to time. I would suspect that it's going to slow down and not be as vigorous as it would be when it's outside. But yeah, it's not completely dormant when you bring it inside. So we're going to take a quick break. This is the Garden Hotline, 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. It's the second hour. I know it's your favorite hour. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And today we are out here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery. It's our show sponsor, and we're here supporting them as they kick off their holiday season. They've got Christmas trees. They've got winter greens. They've got all kinds of trees and shrubs for us. And we have Andrea Graves here with us to answer any questions you guys might have. Hopefully, you know, she can tell us about the classes that we have going on out here and all that good stuff. If you guys have questions for us, though, 314-436-7900 is the question or the phone number to call with your questions. Andrea, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We're really excited to be able to talk about this today.
So a lot of stuff going on out here. What's it like to, you know, we're kind of switching from fall into winter. What do you got going on out here at the nursery?
Yeah, winter really kicked off. It felt pretty much like yesterday. Over the past week, we've been getting in our cut greens for our live evergreen decor. And then yesterday we had all of our Christmas trees land. We got all those put up in the rain yesterday. So, but it's really beginning to feel a lot like Christmas here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery.
So out here in the garden center, you guys are loaded up with poinsettias, with garland, and you have a winter class series that you do out here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that kicks off today as well. We have our first class at 10 and then another one at 1. That will be for our winter planter. So for, you know, put it on your porch, put it on your back patio. You know, just bring a little bit of that color to your planters that normally have your flowers in them. And we dip all of our greens and our Christmas trees in a anti-desiccant. It helps with the needle drop, and it also helps your greens to last longer, holding in that moisture so they don't dry out as fast. But in a couple weeks after Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, on December 6th, we have our live wreath class. And then on December 13th, we have our winter centerpiece class.
So speaking of wreaths, I think, you know, you mentioned, and I saw some of them going out on trucks this morning. You guys kind of make all of those in-house. That's pretty cool. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we decided to do that this year. So it's brand new. We were getting some stuff in, ordering, and it was what you see everywhere. And we're like, you know what? We can do so much better. And we just want it to look good for our people who are coming in and for them to get something unique here. So all of our wreaths are made here on site by our retail staff, and they do an absolutely phenomenal job.
And they're beautiful as well. So really exciting that you guys can offer those that are made here. And then for those out there listening, you said you guys are doing a class on these winter containers. What is that exactly? What does that look like for those that aren't familiar?
Yeah, so today's class, the winter planter class, which signups are still live for our 1 p.m. So if you're feeling like trying this out, you know, come out. You can sign up on our website, or you can just come out and say, hey, I want to do the winter planter class, and, you know, we'll be able to fit you guys in. So we provide you with a container. We use fiber pots. So if you have an existing ceramic or really nice pottery on your porch or patio, you can drop these in. We provide the soil, we provide the cut greens, a selection of pine cones and bows, and then we have other accessories you can add in, like lotus pods and eucalyptus branches, you know, just to add a little bit more flair. You know, just really adding a sense of holiday decor, and even just winter decor, not even holidays, for, you know, I've gotten mine to last through February. So instead of having, you know, sad empty pots, you know, and all the leaves are falling off the trees, having a really nice green piece on your porch or patio really makes a difference for the holiday and for, you know, the rest of the winter season.
Yeah, nobody wants sad empty pots.
No,
that's
absolutely
just
not.
Unacceptable.
It is.
So when I got here this morning, I was able to walk around. It was beautiful. The sun was coming up. There was fog lifting. And, you know, you get to come to that every day. So lucky for you, that's what you get to see. But I was walking around, I was looking at some of these massive trees. You guys have everything from big giant trees all the way down to little succulents and houseplants. And some of the poinsettias that are over in the garden center, I've never even seen some of the kinds that you guys have. They're really cool. Where do you even find these poinsettias? Some of the leaves are curly and some of them are like polka dots. Can you tell us a little bit about poinsettias? And, you know, like what you guys offer, and how do we even take care of these things once we get them home?
Yeah, so with our poinsettias, our assistant manager handles a lot of our stuff. He's able to source some really amazing poinsettias from a variety of growers. One really big one in particular we started getting from last year, and they just do an amazing job. So poinsettias, they are an indoor plant. You know, they are indigenous to Mexico, so they cannot go outside, unfortunately. If you have pets that like to chew on plants, this is maybe not the option for you either, unless you can keep it away from them. But, you know, they're gorgeous. You know, if you want that big giant pop of red, or if you're like you were talking about, a little bit more ornate with the speckled ones, the red and white speckled, those are great. Poinsettias, you know, some people have problems with them. I feel like they're super easy because they really don't like to be overwatered. So you can, you know, water it once, forget about it for a week or so, depending on the temperature in your home, and then, you know, water it again. And they're very easy to tell when they need water. They start, you know, doing that little bit of wilt, and then you just give them some water and they pop right back up. And in our garden center, we have them, you know, from 4-inch all the way up to, I think some of these big ones we have sitting out here in the office in front of us are 12-inch pots, but, you know, they're
huge.
Every bit of, like, you know, head size, 24 inches, you know, they're gorgeous and really give that nice holiday feeling, you know?
Yeah. And I think that poinsettias come to my house to die. Houseplants are not my forte. I don't know if it's that maybe I just don't care that much, but I don't water them well. So it's nice to hear that you don't actually have to do that much to these to keep them alive. That gives me some hope. Maybe I'll take one home with me. But some of the Christmas trees out back, those are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I always do mine the weekend of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to know that you have some out there. I know a lot of people like to have their houses decorated and ready to go for their Thanksgiving guests. Can you tell us a little bit about the selection of those Christmas trees that you have out there And, you know, like what kinds of Christmas trees do you guys sell?
Yeah, we have, you know, the most popular, the Fraser, in a variety of sizes. And then we have one that's called a Canaan. It's kind of a hybrid. From what I understand, it's a cross a little bit between, I believe it's a Fraser and a Balsam, but they just smell fantastic. That one's actually my favorite. They have a really nice full body to them. They have that really just good Christmas tree look with having, you know, some sturdier branches than, you know, your Balsams and your Douglases are going to have. We have a handful of Douglas as well. So if you like kind of that softer texture to your Christmas trees. But those are the three types that we have out there. They all look fantastic. You know, you walk through it and you just smell
that
Christmas tree smell. And, you know, it just really gets you in the mood.
Yeah, it was a good walk this morning. I love the smell. It really did feel more like Christmas. You know, our temperatures around here haven't necessarily been feeling like fall or Christmas. We've had some warmer temperatures, but walking around back there through the Christmas trees really, you know, really brought that home for me. Beautiful trees for you guys to purchase. Tell us about your hours. When are you guys open? We got Thanksgiving coming up next week. What are the hours that people can come out and take a look around?
Yeah, so today we're open until 4 p.m., so Saturdays. Today's our last Saturday that we're open 8 to 4. All the rest of our Saturdays we're going to be open at 9, with it getting a little later in the season. But next week we're open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed for Thanksgiving, and then Black Friday and Small Business Saturday we're having what we'll call front of house open. So our you know, immediate greenhouses and our Christmas tree lot open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. After that is when our winter hours kick off. So Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then Thursdays and Fridays for the holiday season, we are doing late night. So 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you get off work, able to come over here and get your Christmas tree. You know, if you didn't have time during the week or you're busy over the weekend, you know, coming out and seeing us in those late night hours, we really wanted to make sure that we're available for our customers, you know, for holiday gifts, for, you know, winter decor, and for getting their favorite Christmas tree.
Yeah, don't forget, you guys, she did mention Small Business Saturday. It's so important for us to support our local garden centers on that day. Not just don't spend all your money on Black Friday. Come on out here on Black Friday or Small Business Saturday. Andrea, if people need to get a hold of you, what's the best way to contact you guys?
Yeah, so our number is 636-532-9307. If you want to talk to us out in the garden center, just follow the prompts to dial out to the garden center. Or if they have questions for our garden center, they can email us at retail, R-E-T-A-I-L, at ChesterfieldValleyNursery.com. If you have questions about your plants, if they're having problems or you're wanting to, you know, find some stuff for spring, knowing what's coming for spring, we also do custom ordering for people as well, especially in the spring with getting so many different trucks in. So if that's something you're interested in as well, we can definitely assist you in that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for sponsoring our show, Andrea Graves from Chesterfield Valley Nursery. Thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break. We are here to answer all of your garden-related questions. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call for the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. We are answering your garden questions, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call. We are out here on location at Chesterfield Valley Nursery today. We just talked to Andrea Graves, giving us a lot of information about all the winter greens and Christmas trees and things that they have available for you out here. We're going to be here till 10 live on air. I will be here for a few minutes after that if you guys want to come by and say hi. We do have a lot of callers on the line, so we're going to jump straight back into that. Jim, thanks for your patience. You're on the Garden Hotline. Jim, are you there? Okay, we'll go next to George. George, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Michelle. I was given a couple of banana trees, anywhere from 6 feet to 4 feet. I want to know how to winterize them, and want to know if I can put them in the basement and whether I can cut them down and if I have to put them in pots.
So all good questions. You know, we always get a ton of these questions about our bananas this time of year. People have hopefully brought them in from outside well before now, but you have them inside and maybe you're in the garage. You might want to put them in the basement. A lot of places you can put them. Things that you will need, not necessarily a pot, but it's, you know, like they are messy. So keeping them in a pot is a great way to contain soil, and keep that mess from wherever you put them. So pot's not necessary, but it is helpful. You're going to want to have some sunlight. So if you're going to put them in the basement, they're going to need some sunlight in order to photosynthesize. So I would set up a grow light of some kind to get them through the winter if you have them down in the basement. If you have them in the garage, same thing. You're going to want to supply them with some light throughout the season. And then you're going to want to keep them warm. You know, I know a lot of times our basements get really cold. Our garages get very cold if they're not heated. So these guys can't freeze. They are not hardy for winter freezes, so make sure that you're keeping them well above freezing. In fact, you know, anything above 40, 50 degrees would even be better if you can. So keeping them warm. You're not going to need to water them a ton. You definitely need to keep them watered, but it's not something that they're going to be using a lot of that water over the winter months. They definitely slow down, and you don't want to overwater them. They don't want to sit in wet soil. Think about where they are natively, which is, you know, in tropical areas where the soil is not like ours. You know, potting soil sometimes holds on to that moisture a little too much as well. So having well-drained soil and letting it dry out a little bit between watering, but definitely, you know, keeping it watered, checking on it probably once a week through that winter months. But really, they're not going to look good. I guarantee you that. They're not going to look pretty throughout the winter when you bring them into the house. But don't worry, you really just have to keep them alive enough until you can take them back outside and then push all that new growth and hopefully come out through the winter. So I hope that helps, George. Up next, we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a row of drip roses, and they've gotten kind of gangly. And I'm trying to get, I guess, a couple of rules of thumb for when to cut them back and how high I should cut them back. They're currently probably about, I would say, 2.5 feet tall.
Is that the technical term for it, gangly? I think it might be. I think if I go to a horticulture, a botanical book and look up, you know, roses and rose pruning, I definitely think it will say gangly in there. But I like that description, and you're right. I think this time of year, drift roses, you know, the name implies that they drift, they get bigger. So some pruning is probably warranted. I am not a huge fan of pruning roses in the fall or winter. I am under the in the club of not touching roses until late winter, early spring. I know other people have different opinions about this, but mine is definitely to just leave them alone. You know, in our area, roses can get a bit of winter damage from time to time if we have a colder than normal winter or drier or windier than normal. They can suffer some winter damage. They also have a lot of pest and disease issues. So for me, leaving them alone and not doing anything over the winter months is where it's at. And then, you know, late January, February, even into March, that's when I'm starting to think about rose pruning and figuring out what I need to do. You know, we want to prune before bud break. So you'll start watching the leaf buds on your roses, and they'll start to swell. Things will start to green back up a little bit. And that's when I get out there and prune my roses. As far as drift roses go, these things are tough, tough, tough. So I am not always, you know, a person that says get out your power tools to do pruning. But if you have a lot of drift roses, this is an excellent opportunity to get out your shears, your power shears, whatever you have. And you don't have to be gentle with these guys. You can really hack them back. And that is the technical term, gangly and hacking back. You will definitely see that in the botanical books, but you can just get out there and get after them. You can cut them back hard. You can cut them back. You, with drift roses, you could cut them back to a couple of inches and they're going to be fine. I would recommend probably more around the 12 inch, height when you're pruning them back. Again, start with some shears, cut them back hard, and then I go after them with my hand pruners. And it's a great time to take the opportunity to do any thinning cuts. One of the ways to keep our roses healthy is to keep air circulating through the plants, and the way to do that is to thin out some of that growth. So what I like to think about is my hand pointing upward, my fingers up, and it kind of, creates this this look of where your fingers are all around the outside and then the center of your hand is empty. So that's what I think about when I look at my rose, that I want to keep that center clear, and then I want to keep all of the branches all around the outside and kind of keep it open in that way. But really, these kinds of shrub roses or drift roses are super easy to maintain, and you don't have to be delicate with them. You don't have to, go and find the perfect bud to prune back to, like you do on some of our other, like, hybrid teas and some other types of shrub roses. You really need to find a bud, an outward-facing bud, and be a little bit more thoughtful in your pruning, but you definitely don't need to do that with your drift roses.
Okay. All right, that was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks so much for your phone call and for your question. Guys, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back to answer all of your questions. 314-436-7900 is the number to call to talk with me. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. And we're back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And we are out here live at Chesterfield Valley Nursery, one of our show sponsors. And, it's kind of impressive out here. You hear that word nursery in the title, and that really doesn't do it justice. They are a full-service landscape company. Not only do they have trees and shrubs and perennials, they have a garden center with houseplants and poinsettias. We had Bob Grayler on earlier, who was a landscape designer. So they do that design work. They do patios, retaining walls, all of that good stuff. Anything you can think of it outside, it sounds like they can help you with. I am here today to help you with your garden-related questions. So if you have a question for me, 314-436-7900 is the number to call. We have a lot of folks on the line, some patient people out there. Leo is one of them. Leo, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning. I got a half of a green thumb, and I'm patient. I got a bunch of volunteers that come up in my yard, everything from white pines, Austrians, oaks, everything, red buds. And, I let them grow if they come up in a good place. Otherwise, I try to transplant them. Every time, I'm talking over the last 10 years, they die. So then I started going to the trick of putting pots out with potting mix. And if the seeds fell in there, they grow great. And then I baby them one of them I babied for 8 years. Then I go to put it in the ground, and it's strip mine ground. So it's rough. So I dig like not only a three times the root ball size, but I go out like six, and these things die. And I just didn't know, is there something you should do for these volunteers that are different than nursery plants? Because the ones I get from a nursery, they live. So, got any tips?
Oh, it's that half of a green thumb. I think you're missing. If you had the full green thumb, maybe you could have, some success. I like that you said that you're patient. I like that you're trying. It's interesting to me. A lot of these plants that are kind of popping up in your garden and in your yard that are naturally happening from seed or and germinating on their own are often types of trees that don't like to be transplanted. I think of redbud is one that is readily popping up from time to time in my yard. And as a landscaper, it's one that we use and we want to use. It's a native, it's a beautiful tree. But they often, even from the grower, can have some issues with transplant. Some trees just don't love that transplant process. So it can can be difficult. You know, you did, there are some things that can help, you know, timing of this. I think oftentimes moving some types of trees in the fall is better. Moving some types of trees in the spring is better. So, and when you dig, right, when we order our trees from different nurseries, we can get some types of trees in the fall that are healthy and beautiful. And those trees don't like to be, or don't mind being dug in the fall. But there are some trees that would prefer to be dug out of the nurseries and transported and transplanted only in spring. So knowing that on the different types of trees is really important. And that's information that's readily available. A lot of times some growers will have that information on fall dug trees versus spring dug trees. And redbud is actually one of those, as if we're sticking with that example. Redbuds don't prefer to be dug in the fall, and they, again, have some issues with some transplants. So if you dig them in the spring and move them in the spring, you can have more success. So when I think about you and your patient, half of a green thumb out there, there are things that you, it sounds like you're doing, right? When we're growing trees, when we're transplanting, we want to try to get as much of that native natural soil from around the plant as possible, if possible. And that can help with some types of transplants. If you think of, even though like you can get these bare root trees from the Department of Conservation and they send you, you know, what looks like a stick in the mail or a bundle of sticks in the mail, these new seedlings can also take that kind of transplant. So you don't always have to get, you know, that big robust root ball. It can help with some trees, but it's not always necessary. These guys can dry out very quickly. So if it's out in your yard, even like a day of drying out can be, you know, detrimental to the health and to the success of the transplant. So consistent watering and keeping them moist at all times will actually help a lot. And then other than that, you know, sometimes it's just when you're doing those little seedlings, it's sometimes really difficult to get a good transfer on it. What I would recommend doing, you know, I mentioned the Department of Conservation, when they do their annual tree sale, they will send out those bundles of saplings and sticks. But they have, it's a really great resource. Their website has some great information on how to do transplantings of those types of trees that they're sending to you. So I would recommend going to the Missouri Department of Conservation and looking up their planting and care instructions for the seedlings that they send out from their plant sales. But other than that, I mean, it's really just, it's all one big science experiment. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that you're patient, because sometimes, you know, this process can take some patience. And, you know, they do say, and I think I've said it on the show before, you don't really know a plant until you've killed it three times. So you might have to kill it one or two more times to get it to work.
Yeah,
I hope that helps. I mean, I didn't give any specific instructions that you probably didn't already know.
It's the ones that land in the planter. You know, I said, yep. I put the buckets out with potting mix.
Yep.
I'll grow them because I build like a cold frame out of straw bales and stuff, and then throw it with dirt. Like I said, I had the one for 4 years, and he was like 6 feet tall, and they die when I put them in the ground. I mean,
you said potting soil? Try using a more native soil mix and not a potting soil.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, yeah, it's a head scratcher. I'm a longtime disciple of Mike, so it's
well,
a
well. Good luck.
He taught me everything I know, so thank you.
Well,
you're doing
that's
a good job.
Thank you. Wish I could help a little bit more. Up next we have our next caller. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, well, Sammy, you didn't say the name.
Sorry. Go ahead with your question.
I have a really good success with banana trees. I wanted to just add something to that, but then ask you a question. We had a big one and a medium-sized one. So the big one, we've been just taking a little saw and handsaw and cutting the top off, and it does really well. I just put it in a pot with try to, you know, spray something or put something on. Well, actually, you guys were talking about the baby shampoo. I used that, you know, on the dirt so that it didn't have bugs coming in the house.
Sure.
And I put a little potting soil on. But there was a little bitty one, and I promised it to a friend. I mean, it's like 4 inches tall. And I dug it out, and I put it in a little pot like I did the other ones. Well, it started to die. So I took it out, put a little rooting hormone on the roots, and stuck it in water in like a vase situation. And it's grew a new leaf on it. And it also, the roots are growing. So do you think I should just leave it in that water for the winter? It's under a grow light, too, with the other ones. Do you think I should leave it in the water, or should I try to put it back in the pot, the potting soil?
Yes, I mean, this is a good question. I like, so going back to where you say you just took your, like, a little handsaw and you cut it off, that's great technique, definitely something that you can do, especially if you're leaving these guys in the ground outside, you know, cutting it all the way back, if you're leaving it outside or bringing it in is great, and a handsaw is a great tool for that job. But as far as leaving it in water over the winter, I wouldn't recommend that. You know, that can open the plant up. There are a lot of plants that can live in, you know, in water that you can keep alive and keep rooted in that water. I don't think banana would be one that I would do personally. There's all of those outer leaves and so many areas around the base of that plant that can rot out and open up, you know, the plant to pest and disease issues. Bananas don't like to have wet feet typically. So, it's not one that I would recommend. So if you can, I would try to get it in some soil, for the remaining part of the winter.
Yeah, the roots are, I think, a couple inches long at this point. They've grown considerably. Mm-hmm. And like sure. I say, I put out a new leaf, so it's obviously fine.
Yeah. So I mean, you can try it. As long as you keep that crown above the water, you can try and just keep your eye on it if it's something. But definitely you would need to keep the crown of that plant. If you keep just the root part underwater, it might be fine. But definitely that it needs to stay, that the top part of it needs to stay out of the water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd have to elevate that up then. And then I also wanted to just say, you're doing a great job. You know, Mike made it 30 years, and I'm so glad he did. But does anybody have any updates on how he's doing? I mean, I used to see things on the GoFundMe, but I don't anymore. So if anybody has an update, I'd sure like to know how he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, I'm not sure is my answer. You're correct on they had a GoFundMe page and there has not been an update for a while. I can ask, you know, my, somebody here at KMOX if they have, an update. But if anybody listening has an update, that would be great. I know a lot of listeners, really care about Mike and would love an update. So, we can pass on any information that I hear in the future, but I don't have an update for you right now.
And I like to just say, too, we listened to the KMOX, you know, 100th anniversary Thursday, and yeah. They have a bunch of people on the website. I think they should have had something on Mike with him making it 30 years on the station, but...
Yeah, I think that's a great point too, and I know that the celebration is just starting, and they didn't get to everybody that's been on air for all of this time. So you know, the anniversary is technically next month. So hopefully they'll get to him, and we'll hear some kind of update. But I appreciate your call and your comments, Linda. I'm sorry, Ann. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break. We will have one final segment for you. So we'll do a speed round answering questions. 314-436-7900. We'll try to get to your call. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 1041 KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We are back to our final segment of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape. We are out here at Chesterfield Valley Nursery, one of the sponsors to our show. They've been a great host. We've gotten to see a lot of cool plants out here. We talked to Bob and Andrea about some of the services that they had. They're going to be out here today selling Christmas trees, making some porch pots with some winter decor. Come out and see them. It's really a cool place, and they're a great sponsor. We got a couple of people on the line. We're going to try to get to everybody. We only have a few minutes left, but we're going to go straight to Gary. Gary, go ahead with your question.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'd like to know about how to cut back crepe myrtles.
Great question. So crepe myrtles, I don't typically prune them now. Crepe myrtles are, we're kind of sometimes a little bit on the line for their hardiness. I actually only say that crepe myrtles are root hardy here because a lot of times they'll get some winter damage and die back. The tips will die back. Sometimes they will die back all the way to the ground depending on the winter that we have. So for me, as far as crepe myrtles go, I like to wait until they push out the new leaves or until spring comes and I can kind of see, was there winter damage? How much do I need to prune? You know, what shape am I going for? If you prune them now, it's fine because crepe myrtles will bloom on new wood. So horticulturally speaking, you won't damage the plant or the health of the plant if you prune them right now. I am, again, a lazy gardener, so I don't want to prune them twice. So if I prune them now for shape and then they have winter damage, then I'm probably going to have to prune them again in the springtime. So horticulturally speaking, you can prune these guys pretty much any time of year because they do bloom on that new wood. But for me, I would wait until they leaf out in the springtime so that I only have to prune them one time.
And how much can you cut back?
You can cut these guys all the way back to the ground. Again, these are root hardy, so sometimes they will die back all the way to the ground anyway. So they will take a pretty hard cutback. You know, I wouldn't necessarily do that every year if I can avoid it, but if, you know, you haven't pruned this hard in a while, you need to take them in half or even more. They will take a very hard cutback if needed.
Well, that's good to know. Thanks yep. very much.
Yeah, no problem. We're going to try to get to Joan. Joan, we only have a short amount of time, so quick question.
Yes, quick question. Hi. So I want to know if I can remove a honeysuckle, because I know it's invasive, and replace it with a burning bush, which I also know.
No. Now, burning bushes, we're not planting either one of those. There's a lot of great native plants. Try a spice bush, try a viburnum. Those are really great alternatives to a honeysuckle. What's that?
Are they red? Do they turn red?
No, they don't turn red. But yeah. But there are a lot of great alternatives out there, but burning bush is not recommended either. It's becoming invasive in our woodlands, just not as hard as honeysuckle, but definitely not one that I would recommend. Okay. But if you come on down here to Chesterfield Valley Nursery, I'm sure you can look at a lot of their plants and they can help you find a good alternative to that honeysuckle and the burning bush. Guys, this has been a great show. It's always fun to be on location, always fun supporting a small business and the sponsor of our show. Again, that's Chesterfield Valley Nursery. They're on all the social medias. ChesterfieldValleyNursery.com is a great way to get a hold of them. Don't forget, they have all of these winter classes. They have Christmas trees. They have all the things that you need. You can find me at PointerLandscape.com. I'm also on social media at STL Plant Nerd on both Instagram and Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.